and my fellow Pennsylvanians.
This state's electoral votes are key to who wins the presidency, and both of the candidates know it.
We win Pennsylvania, we win the whole deal. You know that. Just like last time.
But states like Pennsylvania are going to be incredibly important.
The only thing left on the board is Pennsylvania. The president cannot get to the finish line without the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
One state all four candidates are visiting today is Pennsylvania. Its 20 electoral votes are highly coveted, and the Keystone State could end up being one of the determining factors in the race.
Jill's a Philly girl, but I'm a Scranton girl.
Allentown's the third largest city in Pennsylvania, and next January, the Queen City, as it's called, is going to have a new mayor. As an aside, earlier this week, Dr. Jill Biden, our first lady, was just in Allentown. Politically, Allentown and the Lehigh Valley have sometimes been overlooked. You know, it's part of the Philadelphia media market, but geographically and politically, it is far, far apart. Next year, both in the primary and the general, turnout in Allentown will absolutely factor into the calculus for statewide candidates. That's why I'm looking forward to our discussion today with an expert in Allentown politics, Matt Turk. He's the Democratic nominee for mayor, and by all accounts, he's going to be the mayor starting in January. He's run marathons, but you know, he's never run for office before. But in the spring, he defeated a diverse primary field. He has an important perspective for all statewide candidates planning campaign stops and field programs in the Lehigh Valley. Hey, Matt Turk, welcome to my kitchen table.
I am so glad to be here. This is beautiful surroundings.
Hey, Matt, lots to unpackage, and I obviously have a sweet spot for Allentown because I grew up in an adjacent township, and it's the third largest city in the Commonwealth, and I have a feeling in less than a month you're going to be victorious. But tell folks, I mean, it was a tough primary. Tell folks a little about that and why you decided, I mean, this is your first time on the ballot, why you decided to plunge in at this point in Allentown's history.
This is my first time in politics in really any respect. I spent the past 12 years working in economic development, first in the city of Allentown, and then for the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, where my job was working to bring jobs and investment to the Lehigh Valley. And over the years that I saw the Lehigh Valley really pick up steam economically and become a really desirable location for businesses across the country, I would come home to Allentown every day, and it seemed like we just weren't keeping up. It seemed like Allentown was, you know, independent of things like the NIS happening and some successes that we had, some very kind of prominent successes in our downtown. It felt like the city itself wasn't really keeping pace with this region, this incredibly dynamic region. So I started thinking about this stuff. I'm a marathon runner, so I spend a lot of time on Sundays running. I don't listen to music when I run, so I'll be out on 2-hour runs just thinking. And I run a lot. I live here in Allentown. I live in the center city, and I run all over the city because I just like seeing the place. And as it was October or November of 2019, I just did a lot of I was running around the city with a lot to think about and kind of watching what's happening here. And I, seeing that we could do better, just started wondering if maybe, given that Mayor O'Connell was going to be approaching what he said was his last term, maybe I should start thinking about running for mayor of Allentown. And I kicked it around, and my wife, Karen, and I talked about it a bit, and we talked about the pros and cons of doing something like that for my career. And we finally got to the point where I said, you know, I think this is a good idea, but let me check with my friends. In February of 2020, I checked in with my friend, Representative Mike Schlossberg, and I said, just sanity test. Do you think it's something that I could do? Do you think that it's the craziest idea you've ever heard of? And I'll spare you my Mike Schlossberg impersonation, but he was like, well, it's not the craziest thing I've ever heard of. And I was like, all right, that's encouraging. And I took it over to my friend, Representative Pete Schweier, and he gave me similar feedback. And then COVID hit. And all of a sudden, I had a lot of time to, you know, we weren't in the office, and economic development changed a lot at that time. And I had a lot of time to think and do a little more digging and thought about what a run would look like. And I went and I grabbed the voter file for Lehigh County. It's $20. I'm an Excel nerd. I threw it into Excel. I pulled out the 68,000 voters in Allentown, and I just started scanning last names and saw that I knew that Ed Pawlowski had won the 2017 primary with 1,700 votes. And I was just thinking, like, can I get something close to 1,700 votes? And just based on the couple hundred people that I saw that I knew I could sit down like this with, you know, across the dining room table, kitchen table, and have a conversation, I said, I think I know enough people that I could probably put together a winning run, not knowing that anybody was going to be, I didn't know who would be running against me. So going through the pandemic, and as we kind of, I think most of the people that I'd spoken to, the summer of 2020, I think they thought it was just like a crazy idea that I had before the pandemic. The world felt, went upside down. And I think they thought that it was just something that was out of my head. I came back to those same people in like July of 2020 and said, no, I'm serious about this. And I put more thought into it. And here's the kind of path to victory that I see. And they said, well, if you're that serious, then you need to start talking to some other people who can give you some feedback. And thankfully, one of those people was my boss at the time at the Economic Development Corporation, Don Cunningham. And Don was a young city council person in Bethlehem. He was, I think, the youngest mayor in Bethlehem's history. He put together a couple of winning campaigns in Bethlehem. He was successful in beating an incumbent in the Lehigh County executive race. And he's somebody that I had to check in with because he was my boss, but he gave me some thoughts about what I should do. And one of the things he encouraged me to do was get started early. And that led to me choosing to leave my position at the Economic Development Corporation in October of 2020. And I made an announcement a few days after leaving the Economic Development Corporation and just kind of got started with a thing that was absolutely changed my life. I think I announced earlier than a lot of people expected anybody would announce, but that set the tone for what ultimately led to my victory, I believe, which is just working really hard and working really smart and just throwing myself at this. I had the support of my wife. She's the first person I checked in with on this whole idea. She teaches at Muhlenberg College. She teaches environmental science, and she was able to add to her course load to allow for me to not have an income for however long it was going to take. we knew that even if I was unsuccessful, that we'd still have to get through, to May of 2021 with no income. And she worked really hard to make sure we could do that. So I had her support in doing that, and I just went to work. And I put a lot of the skills in play that I developed in years in economic development, years talking about this region that I absolutely loved. It taught me how to both raise money to support this campaign. It taught me how to talk to people about voting, about things that we have a common love for. It taught me, working in the Regional Economic Development Corporation, a lot of our job was communications and marketing. So I had a good intuitive sense of how to reach audiences and how to reach specialized audiences. I put all those things together and really always ran as if I was, one thing that happened, as soon as I announced, there's a real estate developer here named Matt Hyman, and Matt commissioned a poll that I'm not even sure who did it, but the results of the poll were that my level of name recognition was like 1%, right? So I was the guy that nobody had heard of. And I guess I had piqued enough of Nat's interest to lead him to do this poll, but he was really trying to show that there was a lot of name recognition for Councilwoman Cece Gerlach, and that he was concerned about what a Cece Gerlach administration would bring. And so he was trying, I believe in the poll, he was trying to make it clear to everybody that she was an imminent danger to whatever. And he was kind of evaluating a run himself, from what I understand. But so it set, you know, my expectations around, look, nobody knows who you are, right? Like, you're a complete unknown. There's some people in economic development, there's some people in businesses, there's some people in nonprofit who've gotten to know you over 12 years, but you've got a lot of work to do. And we set about doing it. You know, there's a lot more of the kind of the whole campaign itself that I thought was really interesting, that I'm happy to, you know, to go into details on those.
Well, Matt, lots of ground we covered. I feel like we have run a half marathon with all that to unpackage. But so first quick question, because back in the day at Parkland High School, I did a lot of cross-country running and training on what used to be farmland up there in the western part of Lehigh County. How did you get into running, and what was your favorite marathon?
It was funny. I started running to just get a little bit better in shape in 2012. And I let my mom know. My mom's important to this whole story. She'll come back and do it later on in the campaign. But I let her know that I was just kind of running, you know, a couple miles here and there, and that I enjoyed it. And she is friends with the race director of the Cincinnati Marathon. And she just signed me up for the Cincinnati Marathon. And she was like, hey, you're signed up for the marathon. And I was like, well, I guess I better get busy training. So I trained and ran in the 2013 Flying Pig in Cincinnati. And up until I ran virtually last year, and I'm not going to be able to run it this year, but I ran every Flying Pig from 2013 to 2020. And I'd have to say it was my favorite if it wasn't. You know, I'm fast enough that I was able to run Boston a couple of years. I ran New York. It's really hard to not say Boston, because it's just such an amazing experience.
That's pretty elite. And just very quickly, I've never heard the term virtual marathon. So if you don't mind indulging me and share with our listeners, what does that mean?
Well, because in 2020, we couldn't race in person.
Sure. So you're running in front of a computer for 2 hours or 3 hours or ever fast you?
I ran because you're tracking everything on GPS, I ran I actually ran three marathons at once. This is possible in the virtual world, right? So I ran the course for the Lehigh Valley, the Via Marathon, and I was able to submit those times, or I was able to submit the racetrack for the 2020 virtual Via, the 2020 virtual Flying Pig, and the 2020 virtual Boston, which normally would have occurred on three different days, and I would have run them on three different days, but in this case, I just ran it all at the same time.
Fascinating. So you did 26.2, not 80 some miles. All right. Okay. So, and then you referenced the NIS. Just remind listeners that we have a lot of wonky folks in Harrisburg, but we have folks who might not know what that reference is.
So the NIS it's better known as the Neighborhood Improvement Zone. And it is some people refer to it as a TIF on steroids. So if you know what a TIF is, a TIF is tax increment financing. Allentown was in 2007, 2008, right kind of before the global financial crisis. It was starting to get back. It's downtown, which had seen better days, was starting to get back on its feet. And then the global financial crisis hit and it kind of wiped out a lot of investment. And working with Senator Pat Brown, worked with other legislators and with local folks to structure something called the NIS, which allowed for a fundamental, it was a revitalization of Allentown's downtown. It created a financing mechanism that allowed for the development of new buildings that ultimately became home to businesses. So the NIS was able to attract Lehigh Valley Health Network to establish administrative offices there. It allowed for what was at the time Nat Penn to, or maybe it was KMET at the time, which is a bank, to move its regional headquarters there. It's subsequently acquired by BB&T, which is now called Truist, and they still have operations there. But one of the biggest pieces of it was the establishment of the PPL Arena, which is where the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, which is an AHL affiliate of the...
Which I hope every single listener has either been to or plans to go to. That was a long time coming and has been revolutionary. you referenced getting the voter file, and if we could just get a little granular, the census data's come out, and there's a significant number of Latino surnames in that voter file, but truth is, there's also a lot of folks that could be registered that aren't. But the demographics have changed significantly in recent years in the Lehigh Valley, but most acutely in Allentown. So if you could speak to that and specifically your engagement with the Latino community.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned. So I did dig in. Again, being an Excel nerd, I dug in on that voter file. And then, you know, prior to the census data came out not too long ago for the 2020 decennial census and showed us that we are now, and we'd already seen this trend begin, but here in Allentown, there's my dogs are greeting. Sorry, I knew that the dogs were going to make an appearance on the podcast. It's June.
No, that's all right. In some cities, I won't name names, those dogs could vote, but I know in Allentown, that's not possible. So
June is not registered to vote for sure. So Allentown is now 55% Latino city. So our population continued to grow. We're up to 125,000 residents of the city, and 55% of those are Latino, mostly Puerto Rican, about 40,000 Puerto Rican or residents with Puerto Rican heritage, about 20,000 with Dominican heritage. And then, you know, the balance are largely from Colombia, Peru, and Mexico. But we're like, Allentown's a really feels like a Latino city. Like this is a place where, and I'm a Spanish speaker. This was helpful as I was running in the primary. This is a place where Spanish is a commonly spoken language. The voter file, I pulled out my 68,000 names that were, you know, registered here in the city of Allentown. And something I did during my analysis was I just looked at the most common surnames in the city. And the most common registered surnames, something like 14 out of the top 15 most common registered surnames are like Rivera, Rodriguez, Santos, like clearly Latino names. But when you look, and I did my digging, when I looked at the previous primaries, you saw that the names switched from being Rodriguez and Rivera to being Schmidt and Snyder. And what I could see is that there wasn't a long, I could see it changing from primary to primary, from municipal primary to municipal primary, but you could see that there wasn't a ton of Latino representation on election day. And that was something I set out to change. I wanted to go and speak to Latinos. My belief was that Latinos, in my career, prior to getting started in economic development, I'd worked in Panama, I'd worked in Nicaragua. My grandmother's Cuban. I grew up in a, you know, she spoke English, but we were, you know, it was a Latino household.
What were you doing? I need to ask you. I mean, Nicaragua is not a place you find a lot of Americans these days. Managua's completely backslided when it comes to anything democracy. So when was this and what were you doing down there?
In 2003, I was doing an internship for Bell South. So I was doing capital budgeting for a cellular telephone company in Nicaragua, trying to build out their, working with the engineers to understand where to make investments, not just in Nicaragua, but in Honduras and Chile and Argentina. It was spreadsheet nerd stuff. I absolutely loved it. But yeah, I was there. I was in Managua, and it just saddens me to see what's happening in that part of the world now.
Let me ask you, you got in, you had mentioned, into the race in the final days of the superheated 2020 Biden-Harris-Trump-Pence breakdown. And, you know, what was that like? I mean, there's a whole crop of new volunteers that pop up every presidential election in the Lehigh Valley, some of whom might live in the city, some of whom might not. Campaigning was happening virtually. But most particularly, you alluded to this, you know, unfortunately, every 4 years, every presidential cycle, we see so much time and investment put into turning out the Latino vote in the city of Allentown and elsewhere. And unfortunately, it underperforms. So
I was one of those new volunteers, right? So I had spent, because of the years that I spent in economic development, I was usually busy on election day and leading up to. In fact, in 2017, I was in Seattle working to recruit Amazon for the HQ2 project. I volunteered for the 2020 election as like a guy in Allentown who spoke Spanish. So I was telling the Biden office, like, send me to the Latino neighborhoods. I can go and I can speak Spanish at the doors and I can hopefully attract Latino voters. My experience was that it was a bit disorganized. I was like the one Spanish-speaking volunteer. I did eventually run into some folks from New Jersey who came into Allentown, but I could see there that we needed help as Democrats. And part of it is that it's more than language, right? The reality behind what motivates a person is not just their language, but their culture. So again, I grew up with a Spanish-speaking grandmother. She spoke English, or a Cuban grandmother. She spoke English when she was raising her kids in East Stroudsburg. We spoke English, but we got all these Spanish or Cuban traditions, right? So we ate picadillo and we eat our grapes for our New Year's Eve and we played Cuban card games and we got all that stuff. And that informs how you address politics, not so much your language. So one thing that I could see that we need to do as a Democratic Party is recognize that it's way more than language, that it's about how people, particularly people from other parts of the country, and Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, and how immigrants who have become naturalized citizens vote is informed by a colonial system that they grew up in. So bringing that level of understanding is critical, or I saw as critical, and it's where we need to do more work as people who are working to get people out to vote here.
That is a topic that I'm sure a lot of listeners would love to plunge deep into, and that's probably a podcast in its own right. And in South Florida and the Rio Grande Valley, I mean, there's been extensive reporting that every single internal and public poll that the Biden-Harris ticket was planning was just way off the mark, and how the Democratic Party, our party, engages the Latino community rather than looking at them holistically. But I do want to kind of pivot to something you also touched on at the beginning, and I think this gets to your vision for the next 4 years and understanding you have a general election to overcome, but it is a majority Democratic city. And that's the region and the dynamism of the region, and generally rising tides lift all boats. But at the end of the day, it's every man or every mayor for himself. And you're competing against suburban townships. You're competing against Bethlehem and Easton for jobs. So would love to kind of unpackage the region as a whole and what you referenced with the dynamism and what you believe kind of sets Allentown apart, but at the same time can lift the region collectively.
I would differ a little bit with this idea that it is every mayor for himself or herself. Working in the region, I could see, when I look at Allentown is part of the Lehigh Valley, and the fortunes of the Lehigh Valley rise and fall on some level with the fortunes of Allentown, and vice versa. The fortunes of Allentown are dependent upon the Lehigh Valley in a lot of ways. And when it comes down to jobs and the competition between municipalities for investment, people no longer work in the municipality in which they live. Right. This is something we know that in the region, and this goes back to my data days at the Economic Development Corporation, is that of the 300,000 people who are living in the Lehigh Valley and part of the workforce, about 100,000 of them leave Lehigh or Northampton County every day to go to work. And oddly enough, they're replaced by a same number, about 100,000 people that come in from places like Carbon, Monroe, Bucks, Berks, Montgomery. So there's people coming out to work here, and that applies within the region as well. So when we see a regional success like B. Braun expanding its manufacturing in Hanover Township, Lehigh County, to my mind, that's an absolute win for the city of Allentown because it creates job opportunities for our residents. Yes, it's true that B. Braun doesn't build the plant in Allentown, and thus you don't see the tax rateables as a result of that. But the reality is that there's not a lot of dirt that could accommodate that investment from B. Braun. So when it comes down to where does the company invest and where do they create jobs, the jobs are mobile. The investment is suited to the particular characteristics of the land. And in a city like Allentown, we have the NIS, which thank God, creates lots of tax revenue for our school districts and for our county and for our city, but it employs people from across the Lehigh Valley. So Lehigh Valley has to look at the NIS as a win for its residents. And similarly, Allentown has to look at the success of the Upper Macungies and the Hanover Townships of the world as a win for our residents. And sometimes you get double, right? Sometimes the NIS itself creates job opportunities for people who live in the city of Allentown, and that's absolutely fantastic. But we are all in this together. And I'd add on to that, that we are, as people who are invested in this region, when we have a strong Allentown, it's good for the entire Lehigh Valley. Air Products just built or is building a new headquarters in Lower Mac. And just the direct benefit of creating jobs for our people who are in our trades, who are building at the, you know, putting them in the carpenters and electrical and plumbing and engineers and glaziers who are all installing or building that building, that's jobs for them wherever they live. That's also importantly, when Air Products needs to have Allentown have a quality reputation in order for them to be successful at their work. If their global headquarters is going to be nominally Allentown, right? When you look at the 10K for Air Products, it says, you know, headquartered in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And when they're trying to recruit investment, when they're trying to recruit people to their headquarters, Allentown is the headline. And if people are uncomfortable living in Allentown, they're uncomfortable working for Air Products. So to my mind, it's important to our region that Allentown be successful. And similarly, the whole region is important to a city like Allentown. So we have affordable housing issues here in the city of Allentown, but the way that we address those, the way that we make housing more affordable in a city like Allentown is not just to build new residential here in Allentown, but it's to build new residential in Macungie and in Forest Township and across this Lehigh Valley. We're all tied together. So you know that idea that we compete is I have to reject it. And that's what I think we have to look forward to is a spirit of cooperation among mayors here.
Rejection accepted. I stand corrected. And I was always taught and trained that one of the most important skills for a mayor is the power of persuasion and being a cheerleader. And you persuaded me. So that being said, when you were engaged in the dogfight of the primary and then engaging voters over the summer. Oh, I mean, what's top of mind of voters? I mean, everything you just mentioned makes perfect sense, but these are not necessarily kitchen table issues. So what were you hearing at the doors and at community block festivals and such?
It's funny because I really started off, and I think ultimately, like my experience in economic development, bringing jobs and investment to the Lehigh Valley was the thing that showed people were interested in that. But I think they were interested more in the competence that I showed in doing that. So I know that there's a desire in Allentown to see economic opportunity created for the people here, to see job creation that'll support our residents. But fundamentally, what people in Allentown are looking for is competence. They're looking for somebody who can effectively run a city government and deliver those basic city services. You know, it's Don always used to say to me, Don Cunningham would say, like, running a city is pretty simple. Keep it safe, keep it clean. And so people in Allentown are focused on public safety. That was a big issue at the time. Remember, this is, again, coming off of the primary in 2020 that we had Black Lives Matter and George Floyd's murder on everybody's mind. That was still like this discussion around defund the police was still in everybody's heads at the doors in March and April of 2021. Here in Allentown, they are supporters of the Allentown Police Department. They want safe streets. They want to see our police department do better, but they also want to see us as a city administration supporting that police department in its efforts to do better. I know that they're doing everything they can, and I know that they can also do better at that work. So police is important. There's basic quality of life things like litter and clearing the streets for snow removal. Those are the things that people care about. Those are the things that affect people's lives, and that's what they want to hear from their mayor. I think one of the big issues for them was, particularly in an era of COVID, having somebody out and present and speaking to them was important, right? Our residents needed better communications. They needed to be updated about what was happening in their city. And for a lot of people, it was just nice to see someone at the door who was willing to talk to them and talk through some of their issues and hear them out. So it does get to those basics, like, you know, it is sitting around the kitchen table, and, you know, it was COVID, so not a lot of people invited me inside, but we had our kitchen table conversations on the front stoop, and those are the things we talked about. We talked about those, you know, the dirt bikes and quality of life issues are the things that are right at the top of people's minds. Invariably, some people would drift to national political stuff. So there is, you know, my perception here in the city of Allentown is there is concern about protection of voting rights. Like that does weigh on people's minds. There are people who are very sensitive to issue of protecting women's right to choose, to protecting health and safety of women. Environment is, I was the only candidate in this primary who was even talking about the environment and about sustainability and climate action. I think people responded to that. But, you know, I think one of the big points was, again, it's so unusual for a candidate for mayor to show up at a Spanish speaker's door in Allentown and to be able to have a conversation. What happens is you knock on the door, and if they're not comfortable in English, they'll say no English. And so most candidates just have to walk away from that conversation. I can say, okay, ¿cómo hablar en español si no hablas inglés? And that, like, they light up, right? They're like, oh my God, there's somebody that I can talk to. And I think that's going to have an impact.
Quick question, really, really good points to further discuss. Did you print up a lot of literature in Spanish? Did you do mailers in Spanish or radio ads in Spanish? Or
I didn't do mail in Spanish, but I did palm cards in English and Spanish. So I travel with both. And I would write, you know, like, I'd do my handwritten note, and I think some candidates would like print something in Spanish, but then they couldn't write the note in Spanish. So I'd write my like personalized note to the voter in Spanish. Lamento no encontrarte, espero que vote el 18 de mayo. Like, this is stuff that they're not able to do. So yeah, we did that. We did some TV in Spanish too. We were on WFMZ in Espanol.
So I gotta ask you two bigger national questions, because you referenced national. Over the last few weeks, arguably the last few months, there was a running joke last few years, it was infrastructure week. But I think we can all assume that Allentown's going to be the beneficiary of a lot of federal infrastructure dollars. And I'd be curious, when you talk about some of these larger employers out there in the suburbs, if you're living on 4th Street in Allentown or elsewhere, and you don't own a car, how are you physically getting to some of these suburban employers? And that must be something that's very much top of mind for you and your old colleagues at the Economic Development Corporation.
It's really interesting. So one of the earliest, so for me, a lot of what I hope to bring to the mayor's office is partnerships. And one of the earliest conversations that I had was with my friends at Atlanta, which is the transportation authority. And I just wanted to make sure that, because they were so critically important to the needs of the residents of the city of Allentown, that they had a good relationship with the mayor's office. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about public transportation, and we, those particular residents that are living on, you know, they're probably living more like Second and Gordon or Race and Gordon, but they are right now driving cars, and they're income challenged when it comes to the places where they're living. And then when you add on the car payment, it becomes cost prohibitive. And so what we need to do, in my mind, is invest in the public transportation infrastructure to make sure that they can get to work reliably and easily and affordably. That's also the interest of those larger employers who are out in the suburbs. They're looking to access this pool of labor. We need to make sure that it's available to happen. So I was encouraged by the kind of discussion within the infrastructure spending of public transportation. We need to do that here, again, in service to those larger employers, but also in service to the residents of the city. And it's not just to get people to work. Like, I live a block away from Atlanta stop, and I can get to City Hall on a bus if it's convenient. Right now, it comes like once an hour. That's hard. If you miss that once an hour bus, it's hard to make your shift in Briningsville or wherever, knowing that another bus won't come for another hour. This also applies to our school kids. So Allentown, the city of Allentown, the Allentown School District, doesn't have busing as part of its service. So our kids, and we have two high schools that serve the 125,000 person population. I think we're 317 square miles in the city of Allentown. They're taking Atlanta buses to get to school if they're far enough away. And again, if they miss that one bus, it's an hour till the next bus and they're missing class. And that's not a good formula. So to my mind, the investment, there's a lot of infrastructure investment that needs to occur in the city of Allentown. We have disproportionately high, something like a third to a half of the drinking water pipes have some amount of lead in them in Allentown. We have, again, it was a city that was built for the 19th century, and we're now in the 21st century. The population looks different. We need to get the city looking different as well. And I was glad to see the bus as part of the funding.
Hear, hear. Well, anecdotally, I know that we have a lot of congressional staff that listen to this podcast, and I've heard even a few of their bosses, members of Congress. So hopefully they take that to heart, Matt. You've been super generous with your time. Two questions, one staying in the policy arena, and then we'll end on the political side. So in the policy arena, Mayor Peduto out in Pittsburgh focused heavily and really made even an international name for himself on issues around climate. And you're going to be focused on turning out the vote on Election Day, but there's going to be a lot of folks focused on the summit in Glasgow and the important work to combat the climate crisis. So be curious, as mayor of the third largest city, if you can give folks a sneak peek of what you think the city of Allentown, with its purchasing power, with its vehicle fleet, et cetera, can do in that regard.
The places where we can influence climate in that respect, I think, are not huge. So we're the third largest city in the state. The city has a $120 million budget. The choices that it makes around its fleet we have to look at that. To my mind, the better investments for us with climate is on climate mitigation, is working to deal with climate change as it's occurring, particularly as it affects the most vulnerable members of our population who are living in low-lying areas, who are living in floodplains. Our particular investments, I think that Allentown's built out, so we don't have a ton of opportunities to invest in solar. I'd be curious about investments in rooftop solar to the extent that it can exist. I'd be curious about investments in rooftop, particularly for industrial. Again, I think we can do a lot of, we can take a lot of emissions off the street by getting more people on energy efficient buses in Allentown. We have, for the size of our population and the urban nature of our population, there's too many people driving cars, which there's a whole host of other issues associated with that besides simply climate. But I'm incredibly lucky just because of the relationship that I have with my wife, who teaches environmental science at Muhlenberg College. Like, every time we walk the dogs in Allentown, it's a conversation about the trade-offs associated with climate change and the things that seem to be obvious and easy to do. She has students doing research projects on greenhouse gas emissions in the city of Allentown. We need to keep doing that work. We'll keep having the conversations on the dog walks. I will work closely with our planning commission to assess the possibilities here with climate action. We have two college campuses here in the city of Allentown that can play a role in reducing emissions. I want to work with all of our partners to reduce emissions here in the city and across the region to the extent we can.
Excellent. Hear, hear. So final question. You can't have policy without politics, unfortunately. They're interwoven, connected at the hip. We have statewide candidates and their campaign staff that listen to this. And maybe it's being a Lehigh Valley kid. I've always thought that maybe the Lehigh Valley is underrepresented. We don't have a media market. We sometimes get overlooked, but I do hope that statewide candidates are going to spend a lot of time engaging Lehigh Valley voters. So what advice would you give any candidates for senator or governor as they think about trying to conquer and be victorious in next year's primaries?
I have given this, I won't say who I've spoken to, but I've given this advice to a few candidates. And thankfully, I didn't have to say too much because they were here already, but you got to be here. You can't afford to dial it in with regards to the Lehigh Valley. You have to come get to know this place. Often people ask me when they're talking about policy, they're like, you know, what is the place around the country that you look to for a model for what you can do in Allentown? And I always just completely, there's no comparison for Allentown and the Lehigh Valley. This is why it's so difficult for somebody to parachute in from Pittsburgh or Philadelphia as a political consultant and win races in the Lehigh Valley. We're not a mini Philadelphia. We're not the Amish pastures. This Allentown, it's funny, there's an anti-violence group here that does peace walks every month. And one of the things we chant when we're walking is "We Different." And the reality is that in Allentown, "We Different." Like this, you've got to get to know this place. You have to understand the operating dynamics present in the Lehigh Valley. To wrap up the point from earlier, increasingly, you have got to understand Latino voters in the Lehigh Valley. This is a place that we have the ability to influence elections statewide. You still have to build your base in Pittsburgh or Philly or wherever you're coming from and grab all that, but you ignore the Lehigh Valley to your peril. And we've seen that in this 21 election with judicial candidates. We're seeing Judge Lane visit us often. We're seeing Maria McLaughlin visit us often. We're seeing David Spurgeon here all the time. Lori Dumas is visiting us frequently. We had the Great Allentown Fair, and we saw Connor Lamb dropping in on us. Brian Sims from Philly has been here. Like, they keep coming here, and I welcome that. And I'm glad that they're establishing their presence here now so they can be known. Because the important point is that this region will influence those elections in 2022, and it will influence the outcomes for this state for years to come. So as we continue to build strength here, you need to know not just politically why the Lehigh Valley is important, but why the Lehigh Valley is important for outcomes across the Commonwealth. That's the word of advice that I would say is come get to know us.
Well, Matt, sage advice, and super grateful you took your time in the final days of this campaign, and I wish you lots of luck going forward, but I don't think you're going to need it. You come with such unique experiences and great perspectives, so thank you again.
Thank you. If you're offering luck, I'll take it. I definitely need votes, too, though. So in the off chance that you're here in the Lehigh Valley and listening to this, I know you're already voting, but make sure your neighbor's voting. We're going to need all the help we can get, and we'll need your help in 2022 as well. So thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to a special episode of Pennsylvania Kitchen Table Politics. Please join us for future episodes by subscribing, and while you're at it, give us a rating and a review. We love listener feedback, so drop us a note via our website, papoliticspodcast.org. And a very special thanks to Jake Schwartz for all his production assistance. I'm Ari Middleman, and this is Pennsylvania Kitchen Table Politics.